Amen. Thank you, Father. Tonight, our sharing or teaching is going to be called Revelation Part 2 of the Gospel of John. And so we find out that most people, you know, we're so ignorant of the Gospel of John and of Revelation. You know, we've got, you know, Revelation, this is not part of the teaching, but it's really the only place that we know there's going to be a thousand-year millennium. That's the only book that ever mentions it, so this is new information. It coordinates with Isaiah on the new earth, the two different kind of new earths. One, where death will still be present, but it'll be people living a very long time. And then the second, well, not the second, but after death is thrown in, then the new earth where nobody will ever die. And but what we're going to do is we're going to show that the Gospel of John should be placed before the Book of Revelation, and not with the Gospels, and that causes a big mistake. And just as Acts should be placed after Luke, and so we're going to look at this in the order of the books. There is, you know, from the manuscripts, there is no set order except under. On the seven church epistles. The seven church epistles of Paul are always in the same order. All the rest of the books are not. And so these are the placement of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are all man-made. And so Luke should be the last book. It could be Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then Acts follows, and we're going to see that Luke 1, verse 1 and 4. We're going to see the pattern that does that. And if you want somebody to know the history of the story, you go to Luke. You don't go to the Gospel of John. You know, people will have unbelievers, new people reading the Gospel of John. You don't ever go to the Gospel of John till the end. Well, that's my favorite book. You have no idea what you're even reading half the time. And I'll show you that to you. But Luke 1, let's see here, through 4. Seeing indeed that many had taken in hand to rearrange for themselves a narrative concerning the facts of which had been fully confirmed among us, according as they who from the beginning became eyewitnesses and attendants of the word delivered them unto us, it seemeth good even to me, having closely traced from the outset all things accurately, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. And that is loved of God. Theo is God, and Theophilus is love. Philosophers. And as touching the matter which thou hast been taught by the word of mouth, thou mightst obtain full knowledge of the certainty. Now we're going to go to Acts. Acts 1. We're going to see the pattern. So here's the same address. Now we got to write who wrote the book of Luke.
We don't know.
It never says. Who wrote the book of Gospel of John?
We don't know.
It doesn't say. How about Matthew, Mark? We don't know. It doesn't say. These are all traditions of men. That's all they are. The book of Revelation, John says he wrote it. Okay, we know who that is. The Pauline epistles, Paul said I wrote it. The book of Hebrew, no author. You know, the author on all these are always Yahweh. But let's go to Acts. The first narrative indeed why made I concerning all things, Theophilus. Okay, well, that's the same thing we were talking. And look at this prologue. Luke begins with a prologue. Acts begins with a prologue.
Hmm. What's a prologue?
That's an introduction of the story.
Okay.
Pro means first, and then it's probably log, which is logic, order. Which Yahushua began both to do and to teach in the day when having given commandment unto his apostles, and you go on and on. But you're going to see that we're, and actually, the end of Luke, oh yeah, this is a good point too, I forgot about this. Let's look at the end of Luke. And Luke, and it's the ascension.
Which chapter?
The last chapter.
Which is
24, verse 50. And he led them forth as far as the Bethany and uplifted his hands, he blessed them. The Gospel of John doesn't have the ascension. There is no ascension in the Gospel of John. But as you can see in Acts, Let me see it. You know, Acts 1, verse 11. This Yahushua who's been taken up from you in heaven shall go come in like manner. So you've got the same situation where all of a sudden you got the ascension, and now we're talking in Acts, Yahushua talks to him right before the ascension. Okay, it goes hand in hand.
You never notice it.
Yeah. And the Gospel of John, how do we know it? It ends when they were at the Sea of Tiberias. And he's saying, yeah, if you love me, you know, follow thou me. And that's how it ends. There's no ascension there. So we're going to find out the word lamb is not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke narrative. The word doesn't exist in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. These are called the three synoptic gospels because they all agree with each other. We've done teachings on this before on the Gospel of John, which is not part of the synoptic gospels. The Gospel of John is like 3.5 years. These, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are 6 months. His ministry is 6 months. So we know that Gospel of John cannot be taken literal in any places. It does not agree with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which means they have to be a figure. They're figures. They're very important, but they're figures. So the word lamb is not in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but the Lamb of God is what John the Immerser calls Christ. John 1:29. We're at the end of Luke, so we got right here. And on the morrow, he beholds Yahushua coming unto him and said, see the Lamb of Yahweh, who taketh away the sin of the world. Then I think in 33, let me see here. Wait a minute here. It says one more time. 36. And on the morrow again, when his name is not John. The name, the Hebrew name is Yohanan. Oh. Yo. And you can see it. Instead of just if you put a Y O H N, think of Y O instead of J O, and that stands for Yahweh. And Hannah, we know, is favor, H A N O N, and they got H N. So John is a Greek name. The actual name is Yohanan. So Yahweh's favor. On the morrow again was Yohanan standing and among his disciples too, and looking at who Yahushua walking, he says, see the Lamb of God. Remember this, we did this on the other teaching, but it says on the morrow, after he was immersed, on the morrow he sees him, and we're going to get into this later, with this man around him, going to the wilderness.
No,
he doesn't go to the wilderness. Well, I thought Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he went to the wilderness. Immediately, yeah. With a bunch of people? No, he's by himself. And how long is he in the wilderness by himself?
40 days.
40 days and 40 nights. Wow, but here, the second day, and we're going to find out he actually goes to a wedding.
Yeah. Make wine.
Yeah, the marriage in Canaan. And then he goes and does the cleansing of the temple and Nicodemus. Wait a minute here. He's supposed to be in the wilderness for 40 days, a month and a half, right? So we'll get into that. So that should arrest our minds immediately, which I don't know why it took me so long. Anybody who has actually studied the book got to realize, hey, this doesn't agree with Matthew, Mark, and Luke at all in this category. Period. Well, it should be, then it has to be a figure. If it's not literal, it's either two things. It should not be part of the books of the Word. All right, it's man-made because it's wrong, or there have to be figures. So when something is not literal, it has to be a figure. We know in Matthew, Mark, and this is not teaching, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who carried the cross?
Simon the Cyrene.
Simon did. And John, who carried the cross? Yahushua. It doesn't even mention Simon. Well, wait a minute here. That can't be right either, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about Simon carrying the cross because he was so beat up he couldn't carry the cross. But in the Gospel of John, it says Yahushua. So that has to be a figure. Because, you know, so, you know, figuratively, he bore the cross, which had to be the sin of all mankind, which obviously, yeah, but it's a figure. It's not literal because Matthew, Mark, and Luke says Simon carried the cross. Yeah. So if you don't understand this about the Gospel of John, you're going to miss the whole beauty of this bringing it together, which we're going to go through. So the Lamb of God, two times in here, we're going to see in the book of Revelation, the word Lamb is used 29 times.
Wow.
You know, in the book of Revelation. Remember, John, Lamb of God, twice. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, zero. There is no Lamb. Okay, so, you know, so the Gospel of John is being tied with the book of Revelation because he's the Lamb in the book of Revelation. He's not the Lamb of God, but he is the Lamb.
What's the difference?
Now, we're going to see. Now, interesting on this is the first usage of the Lamb is Genesis 22:7. Don't have to go there. And Abraham and Isaac are doing a sacrifice. And Isaac says, where is the lamb for his sending sacrifice? And what does Abraham say?
Yahweh will provide the lamb.
Yahweh will provide the lamb. Wow. So look at this. Does that refer to Christ?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. That's the first usage of the word the lamb in Genesis. Where's the next big encounter? Is Exodus 12:6, the Passover. And the lamb was there to slay it between the evenings and put the blood over your post. Passover.
That's God.
That was, so we have Abraham and Isaac first. Now we have Moses making it a national part of every year. And then in Revelations, we have to go there, 5:12, it says, worthy the lamb that hath been slain. So now we start at the beginning of Genesis, and we're ending in Revelation on the slain lamb. And let me see here. And the Lamb of God is also connected. The Lamb is also connected to the throne of God, and we'll go on with that too. So the Lamb is used 12. The Lamb is used 12 times. In Revelations. And every time it says the Lamb, it says God. Not the Lamb of God, but God and the Lamb are always in the same verse. 12 times. And you don't have to go there, but that's Revelations 5, verse 6, chapter 7, verse 10 and 17, chapter 14, verse 4 and 10, no, 4, chapter 10, verses... No, chapter 14, verse 10, chapter 15, verse 3, chapter 19, verse 9, chapter 21, and verses 22 and 23, and then 22, it's 1 and 3. So God and the Lamb, and this is always, it's not the Trinity, it's God and the Lamb. It's not God and God, it's God and the Lamb, or Yahweh and the Lamb. Throughout, Lamb is used 29 times in the book of Revelation, and the rest of the epistles it's used once in Acts. We're talking about a Lamb, but this is so formed, so that's tying the Gospel of John to the book of Revelation. Revelation is the end times, right? The judgment of the world. The end time prophecies are in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, and Luke 21. They're all record the prophecy on Mount Olivet when he's looking down on Jerusalem. It's not in John, ever. Well, because the book of Revelation and is part two of John. It's going to have... It's going to have the end times.
So like Luke goes to Acts, John,
yeah, John goes right to Revelation. And so, the you know, obviously John is deficient. So if a person read, and we'll have this, Billy Graham and them, here's a new believer, accepted Christ your Lord, read the book of John. Well, you miss everything.
Yeah.
You miss everything. Because there's no birth of John the Immerser. There's no birth of Christ. You know, all these other things that are
temptation.
Happening. Yeah. The end time prophecies is not in John. So you miss the whole story is what you end up doing. John is only for people at the very end who have their eyes opened up to understand how this works with the book of Revelation. Let's see here. And so there's no prophesying in John. Let me see. Oh yeah, that's all. It's not spoken because Revelation is part two of John. John is not part of the three Gospels. The three we know is a number. 3 days and three nights is a sacred number. Four is not a sacred number. Three is, seven is, 10 is, 12 is. And remember, the Lamb of God is used 12 times in the book of Revelation. So that's governmental perfection. That's why we have 12 months. We have 12 zodiacs. And so Yahweh puts it, but four is not a sacred number. Three is. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are perfect. Luke ends with Acts, and we should have John in the beginning of the book of Revelation. What's the end times? We've said that before. Christ is immersed in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and spends 40 days in the wilderness by himself. That's not happening in the Gospel of John. He goes into a wedding. Well, that doesn't work at all. And a few days later, he's in Jerusalem overturning the temple gates.
Yeah.
Well, that's not it at all, because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it doesn't happen till when? The end of the book. He only enters Jerusalem once in his ministry. And that's the end. And when he enters Jerusalem, what are they going to do to him?
Kill him.
Murder him. So this is, so that is a figure. So entering into Jerusalem is a figure. And sorry to say that, Nicodemus is in Jerusalem. So that has to be the whole story of Nicodemus. You must be born. You must be born again. No, it's born from what?
Above.
And so King James translated again, it's not the word again, it means above. You must be born from above. And everybody knows that if you look at the Greek. But that, everybody loves that saying, so everybody's like, you must be born again, you must be born again. And so it becomes a national anthem for Christianity, and it's only used in Peter once. It's not used in John. It's not John 3. I'm sorry to break anybody's bubble, but this is just this is what Yahweh has done, not me.
Yeah.
Don't shoot the messenger. Look what Yahweh has done and test it. So we did I got a whole section on the Gospel of John on our website, and it's about 54 pages, and just look, boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, it goes right on through here. And let me see here. Yeah, John 1 and 2, there's no wilderness. Revelation 1, let's go to Revelation 1, verse 1. So when John ends, Revelation begins. And what's our same subject?
The Lamb.
The Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb. 1 and 2. The revelation of Yahushua Mashiach, which Yahweh gave to him to point out unto his servants the things which must need come to pass with speed. And he showed them by signs, sending through his messengers unto his servant Yohanan, who bare witness as to the word of Yahweh and the witness of Yahushua Mashiach, whatsoever things he saw. And so you're always going to see a pattern, so we have to wake up people. A triune God, no. There's never any evidence of that. It's always, we're going to see the Father of Yahushua and Yahushua. We're going to see the God and the Lamb, always side by side. That's the story of this whole book, and it always has been. It's always Yahweh through the whole Old Covenant. And then when he's born, now it's Yahweh and his only begotten Son, right? Yahushua, I just did a post on this on Facebook. Yahushua says, in John 10, you're mad at me because I say God the Son I am?
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't say God the Son I am. He said the Son of God I am. It's the Son of God, not God the Son. The Son of God, our adversary, you know, Satan, has done this and has flipped it right into the church. And why should we be surprised with that? That's 2 Corinthians 11, where, you know, it'll be an angel of light. Satan has deceived people. There are false apostles. There are false prophets who deceive people. And then it made to the point that if you do not confess this, we're going to curse you. And he might even die. It was like that. Now, yeah, 1 and 2, we saw that. But let's look at, okay. Now, the lamb, the term lamb is used 29 times in Revelation. The term Yahushua, or Jesus, and Jesus is not his name, it's Yahushua. For it. Why is it changed to Jesus or Jesus? So in Espanol they say Jesus because the word Yahweh has been removed from the name. Isn't that brilliant?
Mm.
And so Yahushua means Yah is salvation. And so let's get rid of Yah and just say Hosea. And remember, originally Joshua, whose name is Yahushua, it's not Joshua, he was called Hosea first, and that's just like Jesus. It means salvation. But then, if you look at, which is a whole other teaching too, every name in the Old Testament, Yahweh has been removed by the Greeks, by the Greek language, and that was Septuagint 200 B.C., every name, Yahweh has been completely erased from the Greek Old Covenant, and it's been completely erased from the New Testament. You won't find Yahweh one time in the New Covenant because it's Greek. And that is a sign of our adversary. Yeah. Wow, what kind of power, the Christian religion. And even today, pastors won't say Yahweh because of the fear of breaking some kind of tradition. But if we look at same chapter, verse 4 and 6, we're going to see the stories around three entities. Yohanan, unto the seven assemblies which are in Asia, favor to you and peace from him who is. Wow, that's strange. Who is that referring to? Yahweh. Him who is, and who was and who is coming, Yahweh, and from the seven spirits, which are before his throne, okay, and from who?
Yahushua
Mashiach, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loveth us, and looseth us out of our sins with his blood, and he hath made us a kingdom of priests unto what? His God. Well, wait a minute here.
Yeah.
If Yahushua has a God, can he be God?
Mm.
Well, he could, but that means how many gods you got? Well, we got two gods. We got the God Yahweh, and we got the God Yahushua. But because why? He says he has a God, his God. And Father, unto him be the glory and the dominion of the age and ages. Do we have the same God and Father as Yahushua?
Yes.
It's John 20.
Yeah. Well, we know that. Well, that's just so simple. So we can see the blindness, and it's really called beclouding. And what we can do if we repeat a lie enough, and it's repeated from our birth, guess what we do? We believe it. And just like Darwinism says, man came from nothing. And we go, okay, yeah, man came from nothing. Man came from nothing. Then we start thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense, and everything I see is absolutely wrong. But don't doubt that. Man, just
you
say it over
like
and over.
An idiot.
Man came from nothing. Man came from nothing. Man came from nothing. And then the Protestants, the Catholics will say, okay, if Yahushua is God, and he has a mother who's called Miriam, it's not Mary, it's Miriam, and she gave birth to
God.
God. Then she is the God-bearer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of theology, and it still is today. So any Catholic believes that Mary is the mother of God. Well, she has to be. If he's God, she has to be the mother of God. And so who was James? He was the brother of God. Who was Judas? I know Judas.
He had a brother.
His other brother. Yeah, he had a brother. They're brothers Simon. Of God's. And actually, he calls us brothers, right? Then we're brothers of who? God. We're sisters of God. Because if he's God, then I'm also a brother of God, because he's my God. Whoa. This is going out of saying. Yes, and that's where it leads, if people just take it for what it says. So, you got him who is, Yahweh, the seven Ruachs, which we know their job. And if you ever say Ruach or Expiritus, it's actually the word breath. And that's what spirit means, breath, the seven breaths. And so if we start reading breath every time we see spirit, it's really going to change our understanding, right?
So the seven breaths?
Yeah, the seven breaths, because that's what spirit is Latin for breath, right?
Right.
Yeah, and espiritus means...
Aliento.
Yeah, it means breath. And you know, that's a whole other teaching too, but we expire, what means what?
Last
we breathe out. When you're dead, you expire. You inspire, that in breathe. You conspire, which is breathe with. And so all the way through here, it's always breath. The Greek word is pneuma, and that's where we get pneumonia, and that's where we get pneumatic tools, which is all air in motion. In the lungs, pneuma obviously is breath. And so if we start just saying the holy breath, well, that's what the word means.
Seven holy breaths.
Well, yeah. But you have to think about, okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And then the spirit or the breath of Yahweh came. Or the power, and so start looking at it now.
Is that what it moved upon the face of the deep?
Yeah, remember, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. The breath of God, or the wind of God, the Ruach means air in motion.
Yeah.
So remember, it's air in motion. It's power. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that always brings it all together is power. And so when the breath came upon Samson, what happened?
Power.
Yeah.
And
that is, so it's more than just breath, but that's the word spirit means, is breath. I mean, pneuma means breath. We know the Greek word pneuma, pneumatic, air, or motion. So keep that in mind. And so with all of this, if you want to learn the truth, you stay here. This is telulos, advanced, mature things. If it rocks your world, you can't stay here. You just got to stay and just repeat what everybody else says. Don't look at the book, because the book's going to contradict you. And that's fine, too. There's babes, and if you want to be a babe all your life, that's fine. You got salvation, that's fine, that's good. You know, a lot of people can't handle truth, because truth, it obviously... Yeah. Okay, but we saw that. So the book of Revelation is about him who is, Yahweh, the seven Ruachs, and then Yahushua Mashiach, which is Yahweh is his God. He is on the throne, Yahweh. Let's just look at, very simple, we go to chapter 4, because from chapter 1 to 4, it's talking to the seven churches. And it's not churches, it's seven assemblies. And people will translate the word church, it's ecclesia, which means an assembling. It doesn't mean anything about a building, it doesn't mean anything about holy. A mob can be an ecclesia. And Acts, it's translated that way, a mob. And so that Rotterdam does it correctly, assembly, the seven assemblies. They're all in Asia, and they're all Hebrews. You know, that's another thing too. You're going to see the synagogue, the word synagogue. Well, why would the word synagogue be there? Because they're Hebrews, the synagogue of Satan. And then it mentions the 12 tribes, you know, 12,000 here, or is it 14,000? 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000. They're all, Levi, Benjamin, So this was based for a Hebrew book. That's another story. But 4:3, 4 completely describes Yahweh. And he that was sitting...
Wait, where are you?
Chapter 4, Revelations chapter 4, verse 3.
Okay.
And he was sitting, was in appearance to a jasper stone and a sardius, and there was a rainbow round about his throne, like appearance unto an emerald, and the whole chapter 4 is Yahweh. And it tells a whole story. You have the 24 elders. Have we ever heard of them before?
No.
No. New information. The 1,000 years is in the book of or chapter 20. New revelation, new information. No place else to talk about. But that's chapter 4. And then in 5, 6, all 5 is about Yahushua, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. In 5, 6, and I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders, a Lamb. Standing, showing that it had been slain. Isn't that cool? Right back to Genesis with Abraham and Isaac, to Exodus 12, Moses. The angel of death, or the messenger of death, is going to kill everybody who doesn't have the blood over the doorpost. And now to his crucifixion of being the Lamb.
Yeah.
And now here he's referred to as the Lamb, where he has been slain. And all of 5 is about Yahushua. It's not about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No. It is about Yahweh and the Lamb. And then in chapter 6, Revelation 6, 1, now it begins. And I saw when the Lamb opened one, there's the Lamb, opened one of the 7 seals. Oh, okay. Let's go back to, and here's chapter 5, verse 6. Pronouns.
Yes.
And when you can trust your translation. If you're not reading the Rotherham, you probably can't trust it. Now, when I say lamb, is that male or female?
Neuter.
It's neither. It's neuter. A male you call a he. A female you call a she. What do you call a neuter? It. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, we can't call them it. Well, look at here. And that's what it does. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders and the Lamb standing showing that
it,
what?
It.
It. Everybody else is going to put the word he. They're going to put he in there. It's not the word he, it's the word it. So you can't trust their translation because they're not going to tell you they're going to change it. So if you changed it here, where else have you changed it? Let's look at Matthew. Keep your finger here. Go to Matthew. I'm going to show you another case too. Well, we can't call the Savior it.
Matthew what?
Let me see. Chapter 1. This is kind of going off the cuff. But about pronouns. And the fidelity that Rotherham does, he does a text. If it's neuter, it's neuter. Look at verse 13, chapter 2. And when they had retired, lo, a messenger of the Lord, or Yahweh, appeared by dream unto Joseph, saying, arise, take unto thee the child and
its,
not his, mother. Because is a child masculine, feminine, or neuter?
Is
or a child.
Neuter. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not guess. A child. You say, I have a child. Yeah. Male or female.
Yeah.
Right? It's a neuter word. And so it doesn't tell me the sex of a child. And so if it says his mother, they have changed it again. So they're changing pronouns now. Spirit, let's go into chapter 8. Of Romans. I didn't write these down, so I'm on the fly. I will find it also too. Spirit, pneuma in Greek is neuter. It's not masculine, it's not feminine.
I'm sorry, chapter what?
Chapter 8, verse 16. And somebody read that beginning.
The Spirit itself.
What? The Spirit what? Himself?
Itself.
Not himself. Itself. Because Spirit is neuter in the Greek language. Wow. Rotham did it right. If your Bible says himself, they've added it. They changed it. They're just changing it because we can't call Spirit it, even though that's what breath is, right? Breath.
Yeah.
You know? And when they cast out demons, when they call them the uncured spirit, they call it an it.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the demons are she, actually, not he, but just kidding. Because a demon's a demon, and a spirit, unclean spirit is an it. It's not a he or it's a she, because the word spirit is neuter. All right. But we know that the Lamb opened the seal in 6:1. Now we go to 22, finish up the teaching.
Whoa, we're in Revelation
22. 6:2. 22, chapter 22. The summation from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis, what was that again? 22:7. Where is the Lamb? And guess what? They're not burnt offerings either. They're ascending offerings. Ascending sacrifice, the word means to ascend. And even though you had an offering that was completely burned up, the word is not burnt, it is ascending offer. Ascending, because that's what the word means, ascend. It's pleasing Yahweh. So when he smells a sweet-smelling Savior, remember that in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, Yahushua was a sweet-smelling Savior. Well, how does the Savior goes up? It's smoke. And and that's why you have incense. It smells good. It's ascending to the heavens.
Yeah.
So we got, and Rotham doesn't do it burnt. It's ascending. The word means ascending. Now 22, 1 and 3, and he pointed out to me a river of water, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of God. Now, this is very important. The book of Revelation, the word throne is used 45 times. Now, think of that. Throne is all the way through here. Lamb is used 29 times. Throne is used 45 times.
Wow.
The throne of God is used 3 times. But here it is. Issuing from the throne of God and of the Spirit and of the Lamb. No. The throne of God and the Lamb. 2. And in the midst of the broadway thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that was a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, every 7 months yielding its fruit, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and no curse shall there be any more, and the what? Throne of God. And that was all of chapter 4, the throne, the throne, the throne, the throne, the throne. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. Let me see, is that the last usage? I think, yeah, the Lamb of God, that's the Lamb of God, that's the last usage. But I think Lamb is one other place. Okay, but that's it.
Lo, I come speedily.
It's interesting, in verse 4, he says, and they shall see his face. Oh, that was Moses. You can't see me. You can see my hind part, but here at the end of the book is they'll see his face.
Yeah, we'll get to see that there. And there'll be no more night. It's always light. We'll have a prophecy. According to 1 Corinthians 14, well, Father, we thank you for these words. So stand up and be bold and be courageous and study my word. Put my word in your minds and meditate upon it. Meditate upon it and ingest it so you can have an understanding that I have communicated this to you. As Josiah, I have opened up my word into your minds and into your hearts so you can actually see me, who is the author. Amen.
Hallelujah. I love it.